whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Lindsay Shanahan spoke to the media for about 36 minutes yesterday down in Santa Clara, explaining a few things. Defense coordinator, special team coordinator, Deebo Samuel, some of their guys coming back, maybe not coming back, Dre Greenlaw, Javon Hargrave, Charvarius Ward, but you heard it right there. And that was numero uno for me, the big takeaway, or the top takeaway, is what do you do with Brock Purdy? And I don't know if anybody's going to say that's just lip service. Do they believe John Lynch? But we're going to get into it. 888-957-9570 is a number. Shout out to everybody watching us on YouTube. Brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. John Lynch, Shanahan, saying that Brock is their guy. Brock is their guy. Saying that Deebo's going to come back. But there's a lot there. We'll see what happens with the contract and see, because actions talk. Actions speak louder than words, in my opinion. And I will know if Brock's their guy if they pony up before OTAs and have them make OTAs and minicamps and all that stuff this spring. And good morning, Shasky. What's up?
Good morning. Yeah, I thought, you know, to me it was like a layup. I expected something similar to that. And I think most people agree that Brock Purdy deserves some sort of a pay raise. I don't know what that's going to end up being. And right. When that number gets dropped, we'll sit here and we'll have opinions or whatever. But regardless of what that number is, whether he plays for free, whether he plays for billions of dollars, like, this team needs to create an infrastructure around him to thrive. And the number one thing that I'm looking at is this 11th pick, this 43rd pick, whatever the pick that ends up being in the third round. John Lynch alluded to, think we're going to have about 10 draft picks next year. Man, I'd love to be able to somehow create 12 or 13 draft picks because this team needs it. And they have to have, maybe not to the extreme of the 2019 top end of that draft where you got Deebo and Nick Bosa, just two awesome, awesome players. But you need a multiple starters with those first couple of picks. And so we could talk about Brock, and believe me, it's extremely important. The hard part is surrounding this guy with some protection up front.
Well, you know, you need a couple spots. And the good thing is they found Dominic Pooney.
Absolutely.
And they believe in Trent Williams coming back and being motivated. And when Trent's playing, he's still playing at a high level. If Trent is healthy, he's still going to be one of the five best left tackles in all of football to protect Brock Purdy's blind side. So I feel good with Trent going in. Look, last year, we could go talk about it until we're blue in the face. It was a disaster. Everything was a disaster with your premier players, your big money players not being available, coming in late to camp, all that stuff. We talk about it until we're blue in the face. But I do believe in Trent coming back and ending it. If he does end it, want to retire next season, hey, he's going to end it on the right note. Because I believe Trent Williams does have personal pride. He's a Hall of Fame type of player with a Hall of Fame mindset. So I know I got two guys here. How do I get me a center? For crying out loud, I need a center.
I need to find me a starting center
in the first three rounds to be the linchpin of this offensive line for the foreseeable future. I would like another guard, a right tackle maybe. But we'll see what they do there. But I'm with you. They need about eight players here. And I think they're closer to contending in the NFC West than they are being farther away from that. So locking up Brock Purdy, though, would be numero uno. Also, the Deebo Samuel thing. They fully anticipate Deebo being back on the final year of his deal. Now, what does that look like? Now, if you do bring Deebo Samuel back, because I'm not opposed to it. I think there's a role for Deebo Samuel on this team. You will get a highly motivated Deebo Samuel. I believe that because it would be the last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Deebo Samuel wants to retire anytime soon. And so in the final year of his deal, I think you'll get a highly motivated Deebo Samuel, a guy who's going to be in shape, who apparently was in shape. And I do want to stall Deebo out because this fan base, all of us, you, me, everybody, we've been hard on Deebo this season. And he hasn't made it easy on himself. The guy did find pneumonia. We just kind of scoffed over that. I was like, damn, the guy had pneumonia?
Pneumonia will kill you.
Exactly. So
I don't think it's something that we should take lightly.
Right. No, we shouldn't take it lightly, but we just gloss over it this year. We think about the struggles of Deebo Samuel. So that was alarming, though, that they were willing to do that. But again, I think the theme, and I'm kind of with you here, Shasky. You said it for years and years and years. You don't buy anything at a podium. You want to see the action and whatnot.
I hear you.
Lynch can speak. He speaks very well. And Shanahan is very blunt. But I do think it when it comes to Debo and Brock, those two guys in particular, actions are going to speak louder than their words yesterday.
Yeah, I would agree. I believe last year around the same time, they had made comments about Eric Armstead. And they we want to bring the guy back. And I think that they genuinely tried to bring him back at a different number. And it just didn't work out. And so whether they try to, I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Debo. Like, do you finagle the number a little? Right. Do you play with the number? You know, Charvarius Ward played on the final year of his contract this year. And things that were outside of football, you know, obviously factored in. But I think it's tough. I think it's really hard to play on that final year in football.
It could go one or two ways. Yeah, it could go one or two ways.
And more than other sports. Like, I think it's so difficult, especially when you play the punishing style that Debo plays. And if you take a little, even if it's just in the back corner of your head about thinking about your long-term health, it changes how he plays. And I love the player. Look, this is going to just sound, I know, he wasn't great this year. If I had to choose, I'm probably going to die on the Debo Hill before I run him out of town.
Yeah,
because he means a lot to me. What he did with this team, and I know that sounds foolish. I know we go with that Bill Walsh rhetoric. I think he's got one more really good year left in him somewhere.
I think you get a motivated Debo Samuel. And look, man, when you put the ball in his hands and you give him space, he makes dynamic plays. He just does. He does. So, look, the plays are going to be open there because I do believe Christian McCaffrey will be back, and that will help a guy like Debo Samuel. We'll see where Brandon Ayuk is. We'll see if they bring in another wide receiver. But I think more time in the pocket for Brock Purdy, if he's short up this offensive line, will mean more things to happen for Debo Samuel. It's tough to guard him. Like, initially, if you want to guard him off the line of scrimmage, you're probably going to have success. But the play just evolves, and you go 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 7 seconds. You start playing that street football type of style where all of a sudden Brock Purdy's scrambling, trying to improv. Debo Samuel's one of those players you want out there improving because he can make things happen in the open field. So I do think you'll get a highly motivated Debo Samuel. To your point, it could go one or two ways with the contract here.
Yeah.
You could either stumble, but here's a great thing about that. If you do bring back Debo Samuel, we're a long way away. Things could change.
Yeah.
Because John Lynch has said in the past, and I don't forget words, their phone lines are always open. They're always looking to improve the team. So they could feel like this January 9th about Debo coming back, but what about March 9th?
Well, that's
when things are flying, the free agency and everything, and they get a call about Debo Samuel, and they're more willing to say, you know what? We could flip Debo. Yeah. We'll flip Debo for a pick in this year's draft.
Well, one thing that I keep looking at, there's the draft aspect. But I'm also looking at and I know we want to improve the offensive line. I believe that they should do two things. Not only are we trying to draft a couple players on the offensive line, there's a lot of offensive linemen available in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Baldy brought up the Kansas City guard who's going to get, you know, grossly overpaid.
A lot of money.
I'll be real with you. That intrigues me. I don't think they can afford it, but I'd be all in on something like that. There are other names, too. Like, you can go with, like, let's say hypothetically, a Zach Martin. Now, he's 34 years old, and I get that. You got Cam Robinson, who's a tackle, who's available. You know, James Daniels is available. Both Baltimore tackles could be available. Ronnie Stanley in the opposite one. There are a lot of really good players between the ages of 27 and 30 who are going to hit the market this year. And I just wonder, you know, like, they've done this in years past where they've signed somebody that we kind of, like, Charvarius Ward kind of came out of nowhere.
Yep.
Didn't really see them signing him. Is there a guy they're targeting in either on a tackle spot or somewhere in the interior of the line? And then that allows them to use one of their first couple of picks on D-line or on something else that they might need. Because I think we can all acknowledge they've got a lot of holes.
No doubt. And a guy like Zach Martin, who is a potential Hall of Famer, how healthy could he be? Because he's very intriguing to me. He's a guy who's a baller. And I was looking at that saying, boy, can you get him for the cheap?
That's what I'm saying.
Can you bring him for the cheap? He can play in any style. Can he run his own scheme? Is he? Because you need protection up front.
Yes.
I would be willing to invest more in up front in free agency because I do think it's easier today's game with all the college prospects to find speed and explosives in the draft. There's a lot of guys playing in spread system.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys who know how to run these drag routes and these over routes or whatnot and get a guy to take the top off the defense. I do think you can find it, but you got to draft well, right? you got to be able to find it. It's easier said than done.
No doubt.
But you got to you could find some talent in this draft here at the wide receiver position, or a little scat back, whatever you want to do here. So I think short up the trenches, again, we're in alignment here. Short up the trenches is first and foremost on this football team.
Yes.
D tackles. Now, I'm a little skeptical about investing in D tackle in the open market. It's burned up.
Big time.
Drafting. I saw some mock drafts where they had the 49ers.
Do not draft a D tackle at the first pick.
I saw a mock draft on ESPN where they had him taking the Texas A&M kid. The Texas A&M kid. He had 1.5 sacks. But they were like, his get-off time, his first step to the quarterback is the quickest of all of FBS, but he's raw. And I was thinking to myself, the last thing the 49ers need is a raw defensive tackle who had 1.5 sacks in the SEC.
The beauty about where they're at in the draft is, like, I personally would like to see them trade down, because I don't think you're going to get one of these top two guys.
Yep.
But the year that the Niners jumped up to go get Trey Lance, Micah Parsons just fell.
I know.
And just fell and just fell. Could Abdul Carter, one of these edge guys, I love Jalen Walker, the kid from Georgia.
He's a big boy.
Could one of these guys fall to the Niners at 11? Like, if there's a quarterback upswing, and then all these offensive tackles are also projected to go really high. So, to me, this is a really good opportunity. I think middle of the line in free agency, and I think I could draft a tackle, or I could draft an edge guy with that first pick.
Javon Walker, if he fell to the Niners, that'd be like Jalen Carter falling to the Eagles, I believe. This guy's a stud.
He's a monster.
He sets the edge, which we talk about. We need somebody to set the edge. And so who will they bring in as defensive coordinator number one? and Lou Anarumo, again, I keep falling to him. I look at Trey Hendrickson and what he's done under him.
Yeah.
And Sam Hubbard on the other side. They get after the quarterback. Now, I believe we all watch the Bengals. They're on TV all the time. Joe Burrow. So we see that defense. And they made some situational great plays. Like, I know they lost a lot of close games. Defense played well at times. They lost a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Jesse Bates is safety. They lost a lot of DBs this season.
Ball hawker.
They lost a lot of DBs this season. They lost their star middle linebacker, Logan Wilson. Mm-hmm. Remember, he got banged up. The other guy they had at linebacker got hurt. So, Anarumo and what he could get out of a defense, right now I put him at the top of the list of a guy I want. But somebody you brought up before the show was Patrick Graham from the Raiders. And he comes from the New England system. He coached under Brian Flores in Miami. He helped win a Super Bowl in New England. He went over with Josh McDaniels or whatnot, but he's a guy who's been interviewed for head coaching jobs. He's going to be a free agent. Because we're going to play this out. Shanahan did sound open to flipping some things on defense. Not maybe an overhaul with the scheme, but saying that, you know what, the league adjusts. So we need to adjust again.
So one thing that I appreciate about Shanahan is that he uses his past experiences as his knowledge base moving forward. And I get that. But you also sometimes need to get out of your box.
Yep.
He worked with in Atlanta and worked against basically the Pete Carroll defense for a long time. Yeah, all right. And so he cut his teeth for multiple years. And I think that a lot of his football knowledge is forged from that experience.
Right.
Going up against that particular defense every day in practice. And when he came here, he wanted to run some variation of that. And I just think that the league is evolving. And if you're not on the cutting edge and you're trying to go backwards, you get caught in the past. Yep. And I think that's kind of where we're at. So when I see like a Jeff Ulbrich, even Robert Saleh, to me, we're going backwards. I'm kind of out on that.
I'm out on that too.
You know, I would like to see them plow forward.
Yeah.
And I want to see them go in a different direction. You know, a name that isn't at the top of everybody's list, you're going to see him in these college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Al Golden has done a hell of a job with Notre Dame. And I know going through the college ranks is something that's super random, but I like Al Golden. He was a head coach for Miami. He wasn't great. He's got a variety of NFL experience as a player. I don't know. Like, there are other names. Like, there's Eberflus. There's obviously Ron Rivera.
I looked at Eberflus. Now, would Eberflus be trying to get another job? See, I want to get a guy as a defense coordinator, knowing that I have him for 2 years. He may get skipped through the cycle. And now, here's the thing about Al Golden that I was subscribed to. The NFL game has adopted so many college concepts offensively that who better to get in college or to defeat these concepts in the pro game than somebody who's seen it at the college level for a long time. Now you say Al Golden, how many teams did he play? Now you got to look at the evaluation. You played in the Big Ten. Yes. You played Ohio State. How'd you do it against Ohio State? How'd you do it against the spread concept type teams? How'd you do it against teams?
I don't care what you did against the military schools.
Yeah, I don't
not
care.
Not to be mean.
Yeah, no, Navy, Army, yeah, I don't give a damn.
I'm not trying to be mean.
Northern Illinois, yeah. Stanford,
I'm
I don't care.
I'm a Notre Dame fan.
But how'd you do against USC
yeah.
and Lincoln Riley? How'd you do against Indiana, who had some spread concepts, but the quarterback got rattled out there, South Bend? How are you going to do if you do beat Penn State? How are you going to do against Texas or Ohio State? That's interesting. But I do subscribe to the college D coordinator more so now than ever because of so many adoptions to the college game that's been implemented to the pro game. Now, I'm with you. Gus Bradley, Olbrich.
I just can't do it.
I can't. Olbrich does nothing for me.
I totally agree.
He does nothing for me.
And like Robert Saleh, like we all like Robert Saleh. Going backwards, it's like getting back with your ex, you know, years later. Very rarely does that work.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely does that work. You're chasing the member berries.
Now, it worked for Belichick with McDaniels and Patricia at times.
Yeah.
I know you got
Belichick
Brady.
Was the main
you
guy.
Got Brady, no doubt. He's the main guy cooking the food and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm with
Dennis
you there.
Allen?
Right. He's not bad as a defensive coordinator, and I don't think he's going to be alive for a head coaching job anytime soon.
I mean,
I would hope not.
I mean, I would hire him a head coach. No one's going to give him a head coaching job.
You know, but Dennis Allen is out there. He was a name that I saw floated around. So I do think Dennis Allen, guys who are lifelong coordinators, I think Eberflus kind of falls into that category.
Yeah, he's not getting a head coaching
job. You know what, though? And Eberflus, too, if Shanahan was to bring him in and interview him, Eberflus has had Shanahan's number in the past, whether he was the defensive coordinator with the Colts or the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And that's something where Shanahan could sit there with Eberflus to say, you know what? This is what I did against you to kind of halt your offense, to kind of stymie your offense there in games that I've coached against you.
One of the names that I saw that Matt Barros wrote about, and I actually thought this was a pretty outside-the-box thought, but the guy from Cleveland who has been under Jim Schwartz, Jason Tarver, who was with the Niners for almost a decade, it's an interesting name because Jim Schwartz is another guy who's had Shanahan's number.
Yeah.
And one thing that when I watch the Cleveland Browns, they don't have great personnel. They've been injured a lot. They always seem to have a solid defense. No, they got Denzel Ward and they got Myles Garrett. So those are two pieces. But you have Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's an intriguing name.
I saw
Santa Clara ties.
You know what? Now that you brought up the Cleveland Browns, let me look at this because, you know, I've had a man crush on this kid for a long, long time. When he got drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs, and I just noticed that, boy, this guy is with the Cleveland Browns. I forgot he was with the Browns.
Huh.
Juan Thornhill, safety for the Cleveland Browns. He has a potential out in his contract, out. And look, he's a safety that could play the deep third. He's 29 years old. He's got a Virginia. He won a championship with the Kansas City Chiefs. Remember him, Juan Thornhill. He's a guy, I remember that draft. I was like, boy, can you get Juan Thornhill? He went in the second round, 63 overall. There's going to be guys who get cut here.
Yeah.
That we have no idea who's going to get cut that could become available. That's the name I want to bookmark here because I do think they need to get better on the back end. You think about the Baltimore Ravens? Yeah. We'll flip their defense. Everybody's talking about it.
Hamilton.
Greg Cosell was on with Willard Dibbs the other day. Was it yesterday or the other day? Yesterday, I believe, where he was saying, their defense changed when Kyle Hamilton became the free safety, not the strong safety, and stabilizing the back end. I do think alongside the trenches, the Niners need to do that because too many guys get beat deep, too many guys take bad angles on the back end, and Jahmyr Gibbs just absolutely embarrassed them. That stuck with me. Explosiveness that we're going to see in this league for the foreseeable future.
Speaking of Greg Cosell, before we hit the break here, on the other side, you've got to hear what he made a comp to Ricky Pearsall.
Oh, I did.
He made a comp, and I don't know about that one. Let's talk about that. Greg Cosell said something that had my eyebrows completely raised.
You know what, though? He's all in on the Ricky Pearsall experience, and his comp, I was in the car again with Greg Cosell. I thought it was the other day. Maybe I get my
days crossed up. Maybe I'm wrong.
But no, it was yesterday, I think. It was yesterday. He brought